Shalom everyone, and welcome to our weekly Zohar study. And we are today studying the Parasha Vayishlach. Parashat Vayishlach can be found in the book of Genesis, chapter 32, verse 4. And this is a very hard parasha to get through when we read the simple story. Why? Because here it is, this is a story of Jacob, the righteous man. He's all full of goodness. He's never really reactive, very rarely. He's all into completion and righteousness. And it looks like it's not fair what he's going through, especially in this parasha. Okay? After so many years, he lived with his father-in-law, that is also his uncle, okay? And that uncle was abusive, a cheat, and a liar. Although Jacob, as we learned in the previous parasha, Parashat Vayetze, although Jacob is always honest, always behaving with integrity, he's like the perfect worker to the most abusive, conniving boss, okay? If you know this kind of a situation. And still, with all the wickedness and the cheatery and the hypocrisy of his boss, uncle, and father-in-law, it's the same person, right? Laban. Finally, he gains a lot of wealth, 4 wives, 12 children, and he's going home to his parents. Okay? This is the story of the previous parasha. And whoever listened to the previous parasha and the parasha before got one very important rule, which everybody has to understand is a basic ground in order to have a healthy spirit dealing with everyday's life. And what is the story? The story is about what the Zohar is saying. As the person is being born, when the Zohar is talking about this parasha, Zohar Parashat Vayishlach, and it says, "Dichti v'chatati negdi tamid." Let's start with verse 1. "B'sha'ata devarnash atay la'alma." When a person comes to be born in this world, "Miyad izdamen ba'dei yetzera." Immediately comes with him the evil inclination. "Deyu mekatregle," that always disturbs, comes on the way. As it says, "Lapeta chatat rovetz," which is Genesis 32:4, that a sin lies in the opening. What is the opening? The opening of the womb. The moment the baby is born, the evil inclination takes over. Why? And we have to understand, it's part of who we are and what we are. Without it, we have no identity. What is the identity of a human being? So for beginners, or for advanced that need the reminder, many times we need a reminder, sometimes it's a few times an hour, not a day, a few times an hour. The story is like this. We were created perfectly, fulfilled, as the Creator created the universe, and that is totally being explained in Genesis chapter 1. And God created, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and it was good. In that moment, the Zohar explains, everything was already taken care of, and we were created. We, I mean humanity, the souls of humanity, we were created as creatures of desire. Desire for what? For whatever is good. And who created us this way? The Creator himself. Why? He is the good. He is the source of good. And if you have good, you want to share it. And you need somebody to share it with. And we were created for one purpose. To receive that good pleasure and fulfillment. We were created that way. We were created fulfilled. From the point of view of the Creator, game over. End of story, it's done. However, we were created, later on it says, in the image of God. Again, to remind us, that means that we cannot have that good when it's for free. And therefore, I'm making it really short, therefore this world that we know as reality has been created with a lot of darkness and confusion in, and that what is called challenges. All of these challenges were created for us to attain, to acquire, to achieve fulfillment, but to achieve it out of a fight, hard work, and a lot of training. Now, that's why people say easy comes, easy goes. What does it mean? For free, says the Zohar, for free you can get only troubles. You really want to achieve true success, true fulfillment, you must work for it. What is the problem? In our day and age, there is a kind of philosophy that has been developed in the 60s and 70s and 80s and later on, that means that the whole world must be like really easy, no competition, you shouldn't hurt anybody, we should make it easy to everyone, and that's when everybody is going to be happy. No competition, no hardship. Now, whoever really understands life, which means whoever is in business. I'm not talking about people that live in a closed system. Let's say you work in a university, you have a nice job, and there are rules of, you know, you're going to go up the ladder of salaries and position and so on, no matter what you do. You just have to be, to talk the right talk like everybody else, and you're going to get it. And there's no fight, there's no competition. Why? It's not nice to make it uneasy to someone. That's not reality. Not reality. Reality is that we must go through challenges, and these challenges will face us everywhere, and these challenges are concentrated in one thing, what is called the evil inclination. Each one of us has the competition between two forces. One is the dark one, called Esav, and the other one is the light one, called Jacob. This war is a necessity, it's a must, in order to achieve ownership over any kind of fulfillment. If you do not have ownership, if you do not have an effort, easy comes, easy goes, and there are no free lunches. Which means, the world has been created with injustice and negativities and troubles and challenges and confusion just because we humans need to overcome those challenges in order to become that whole person that we're supposed to achieve. And therefore, in our world, Esav is the firstborn. Esav is representing the dark side of every human being. And therefore we said in previous classes, previous weeks, that every time we read about Esav becoming the firstborn, the guy who's a murderer, a cheater, and a liar, okay? He is the firstborn because if you look around, who is in charge of power, the main power and controlling system is this on this planet, it's always the Esav people. People who are corrupt, people who have greed, people that really do not care for the masses, for righteousness, for values or stuff like this. And usually this is the story from the birth of humanity. Now, humanity, along thousands of years, has improved tremendously since the times of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Tremendously. We are much more free in the last century than ever before. We are seeing in front of our eyes that the world is transforming towards more equality, more righteousness, more positivity and honesty. However, it's not there yet. How do we know? Look in the mirror. Whoever says that he already, or she, are already above the inner fight, are already conquered my Esav, and I'm righteous, and I have only good intentions, I have nothing negative in me, whoever thinks so, this is really scary. Why? So why are you here? The only way we can achieve contentment and fulfillment is by overcoming our own dark side. And as we said, the moment we are born, the dark side comes with us. It's within us. Esav is part of our personality. Esav is not the bad guys there. Politicians, dictators, murderers, mafia people, all kinds of... This is not Esav. Esav is first and for all deep inside us. Okay? If we are not ready to take that responsibility, we are not in the game. And the game is Jacob and Esau fighting within each one of us. And here in the story, what is that we are dealing with? Jacob is coming home. He has been with an abusive uncle for 20 years. He's coming home to his father and mother. And on the way home, he's sending messengers to Esau, his brother, saying, I'm coming home. Let's be friends. Not just this. He's sending Esav presents. A lot of presents. Very expensive presents. And he's apologizing. I'm sorry. I apologize for whatever I did to you. I want you to take these presents and forgive me for everything. So Jacob is even humiliating himself so to become friends with his brother that wanted to kill him. That's one of the reasons Jacob left his home and went to Haran, left the country. Okay? Now, and here comes the story. In the big story, Esav is coming to meet Jacob and he's coming with an army of 400 warriors. Jacob has four wives and 12 children. He has some shepherds with him. He's really alone. No protection. That is a bad, bad picture. In that picture, Jacob is bribing Esav. He's giving him a fortune. Like he's giving so many hundreds of sheep and cattle and stuff like this and camels. Like we're talking about, this is a lot of money worth even today, what he's giving him. And then he bows down to him seven times, which means Jacob is totally humiliating himself in front of Esau. And Esau finally has mercy for him and lets him go instead of killing him. Okay? Whoa. Jacob has been saved. But Jacob is right and Esau is wrong. Why God could not? We just read, just in the beginning, or before the beginning of Vayishlach, we read that when Lavan, his uncle, comes to kill him, killing what? Killing your nephew, your son-in-law? He's the husband of your four daughters and the father of your 12 grandchildren? No, Lavan wants to kill him. He's so upset, he wants to kill him. And God comes to Lavan in a dream and says, do not dare to touch Jacob or anything that belongs to him. So Lavan wakes up, he's scared. He says to Jacob, God came to me in the dream, I could have killed you. But God came to me in the dream and he stopped me. Why God does not come in the dream to Esav to stop him from killing Jacob? Why he leaves it to Jacob to protect himself with no forces, with no army, with nothing? Why? Because that's our life. That's our position. Our position is, again, still around us, as long we did not overcome our own internal Esav, as long as we did not overcome our greed, our selfishness, our anger, hatred, our lust, laziness, complaining aspect, victimization, as long as we did not overcome that dark side, what do we want from others? They are victims to the same Esav everywhere. It could be our boss, employees, wife or husband, children, spouses. It's all over. Everybody is infected with that disease that is called the evil inclination. Why? We were given the gift. We're not here to accumulate riches. We're not here to accumulate power. We're not here to accumulate fame. We're not here to enjoy good food and stuff like this. Oh, there's nothing wrong with having that. But this is not the goal. We want fame, we want fulfillment. Before, in the creation, we had more than enough. We had endless of it. Why did we come to this world? Why we were born in the first place? We were born because we wanted one thing. And this thing that we wanted is the ability to turn darkness into light, to turn bitterness into sweet, to turn failure into victory, to go against the odds. Yes, the evil inclination inside us wants everything to be okay. And you know, love others as you love yourself. What an amazing rule. Well, I just want to be part of any party or movement that is for loving others. Just why? Because I want everybody to love me first. No, it doesn't work this way. The way to work it out is when everybody hates you, when everybody steps on you, when you're being stepped on, when you're being humiliated, and you still love others. Why? Because it says in Leviticus, okay, what does it say? Love others as you love yourself. I am God. Not because when you love others, you're going to be rewarded. People will be nice to you. No, we have to do it in spite and because there's a higher value in loving. We are not into the business of accounting. We're into the business of love. How? When we create love in our environment, although there is victimization, abuse, negativity, and we create light just where it's the darkest moment and place, this light stays with us forever. It protects us forever. And that's why when it says, and Jacob is sending angels, what are the angels? The Zohar explains. Angels are the creatures of light that we create when we overcome our negativity. When we get out of the box, when being inside the box, being running an accounting firm, which means I'm always asking, like, how come they have more than I have? How come they have more opportunities? How come they're more privileged? How come they were born better, stronger, higher, taller, richer, whatever? How come they stole my rights and stuff like this? No. No, no. Wherever I am, I'm there. Because that's a place I'm supposed to be, because that's where I'm supposed to create light out of darkness. I'm not going to be loving when everybody loves me. I'm going to create love out of the box because that's a way to connect to the endless world. Because that's my mission, that's my values, these are my values, and that's my calling. My brain, my logic, which is my jail, will tell me, why should you love him? That's why it says, love others as you love yourself. I am God. The Creator is saying, you want me? That's what you want. You want my light. You don't want money. Everybody who has money is happy and fulfilled? No. Everybody who has fame is happy and fulfilled? Look at all of those famous, rich, powerful people that died from overdose, that got crazy because of all of this power they have, because there are no checks and balances. You'll go nuts. Power corrupts. You can't be powerful, non-spiritual, and happy at the same time, because you're just defying all the rules of the universe. I never met happy, selfish, powerful people. Never. Never. And I met a lot of powerful people. I met a lot of people with, wow, they were presenting human dignity and righteousness and so on. But they didn't really live it. They were always talking about the other bad guys. Yes, the other bad guys are there. They will always be there. They're always there to give us the opportunity to rise to the occasion and to become the light in the middle of the darkness. So the Zohar is asking, why did Jacob send messengers to his brother that he knows that his brother is going to kill him? And the Zohar is giving us few rules about how to deal with life. The first rule is, do not procrastinate. Simply deal with the problem whenever you can before it's too late, or you don't want it to catch you by surprise. Be on top of it all the time. But Esau comes to kill him. So Jacob is doing something really powerful. And the Torah says that by this, the Zohar says, he is teaching us how to deal with powerful people. There will always be powerful people. Not always, till the Messianic era. As long as the Messiah is not here, how do you know the Messiah is here? The Tanakh is telling us. Read Isaiah, read Jeremiah. When everything is in pieces, because the earth is full with the knowledge of God. Everybody knows Kabbalah. Everybody does the job the way I just described. Everybody knows that the enemy is only within. And before I can overcome my own enemy, I cannot go and fight other enemies, because they're all victims to the same problem. They have their own evil inclination. And we all have that inner war ongoingly all the time. That does not give us an excuse not to fight. And the answer is, here is Jacob. He's fighting Esau. He's fighting Laban. They're more powerful. They have the power of the might. They have the power of the society. And you know what? Where are they and where is Jacob? He won. Oh, it was not easy. He suffers a lot. Here, he's giving fortune to Esau, his brother. He doesn't have to. It's not his. It's not Esau's. He's giving it to him. He's humiliating himself in front of Esau. Why is he doing it? Then he's okay. He goes to Shechem and he has a terrible story over there. His daughter is being raped. And then he has to run away for his life, and his wife, Rachel, dies on the way. His beloved wife. Does that take something off Jacob and makes him a small person? No, he's still, not just that he's in this parasha, he's greater than ever. He's becoming Israel, Israel. He's fighting the dark lord, the dark angel of all of humanity's darkness, and he's winning. And therefore he's awarded with the name Israel, the ability to fight with the biggest, darkest forces, and to win. That's a powerful name. Although Jacob lives the usage of this name only for the end of the days. And you know, most of the days, the name was Judah. And Jews are called Jews because it's a short from Judah. And Judah means to be thankful. How do you protect yourself? You're thankful. To be able. says the Torah and says the Zohar, to be able to take over and to show the might. As Israel, they will wait only for the Messianic era. And we'll come to it. Just, so what is Jacob doing? He's, that's the way it says so, he's taking his rising to the occasion. He's dealing with Esav. And how he's dealing with Esav? Here comes Esav, that represents for each one of us the might of our arch enemy, somebody who hates us. There's no way he will let us go through. Okay? It could be a relative, it could be a boss, could be somebody from the government, whatever, any kind of enemy. The logic says he's bigger, stronger than I am. I have no hope. But the soul says it's a challenge. I am going with the light and I'm not making any kind of judgment. I have to do whatever I have to do. What I have to do. What does it mean? I have to overcome my own darkness. And the only way you can remove darkness is fighting with light. And how do you fight with light? Bringing your own light, overcoming your own darkness. And how do you do that? You have, first of all, to realize your darkness. The hate, the upset, the humiliation, the victimization, all of those negative thoughts that are coming from who? From our dark side. Okay, the other side of our personality. We all have that other side. I have to shut it down and I have to rise to the light. I have to transform it into light. That's our life mission. Whenever we do that and we turn into the light, we get out of the box and connect to the endless light. Now we are connected to endless power. The power the Creator prepared for us from the beginning. The moment we attach that power, the story will turn around. How? Don't have expectations. Why? Because the light we gain, this is the goal. The goal is not money. The goal is not power. The goal is not a position. The goal is not logical goals. The goal is the connection to the light of God. That stays forever. This is ours and no one can take it away from us. Remember that. And that's why the Zohar says, verse 16 in the Zohar of this parasha, Rabbi Shimon patach v'amar, Rabbi Shimon open and said, Tov niklav eved lo mimitkabed v'chasar lachem. And this is from the Proverbs 12:9. When a person is holding himself low, with humility, with lack of pride, he's allowing others to despise him and to abuse him. But he is controlling his inner negativity. He's thankful, he's enlightened, and he knows that whatever is happening is for the good. He knows that all of that negativity that is happening to me, all of this humiliation is just to give me the power to overcome darkness. For the power of overcoming my darkness. And the moment I overcome my darkness, I have victory. This is the goal. Think about it. When we have inner peace, fulfillment, and we connect to the endless light of the Creator, do we get hurt by people trying to abuse us? No. We have faith, says Proverbs. King Solomon says that. It's better than somebody who's holding himself high, looking for his honor and respect, but he has no faith. What is faith? Faith, teaches the Zohar, is the connection to the light of God. A connection that is independent from any outside influence. Which means, how do I know I have that connection? When somebody steps on me, humiliates me, despises me, cheats me, and I'm not getting upset. If I get upset, I take over and I'm going into thankfulness. I don't know what wrong did I do that it comes to me, but now that I overcome my own negativity, I overcome my real enemy. The other person is not my enemy. He's also a victim of the circumstances of his own dark side. When I do that, says King Solomon, I'm connected to the light. When I'm connected to the light, how am I going to be rewarded? The first reward is that I have faith. What do I mean faith? I feel connected to the endless light of the Creator. How do I know that I have faith? That I do not allow anyone to control my mood, my feelings, because my faith is higher than anything else. When I have that, that's the reward. I'm connected to the world to come. In Hebrew, Olam Haba, the world that is coming towards me, I already achieved that miracle because I got out of the box. And that moment, I can only have mercy towards my enemies, towards those miserable people who think that by abusing me, they can gain something good. It's against the rules of the universe. When Jacob is giving Esau the presents, Esau, on one hand, is flattered. Why? Because when you're into ego and lust, and when you're under your dark side, everyone can control you with compliments, with any kind of bribe. And when you are in that position, you're lost. You're lost. It's easy for everyone to take over the agenda and to make you their slave. How? By bribing you, by buying your loyalty. Okay? When we are outside, when we are into our dark side, it's all about slavery. First of all, slavery to our own Esau. Jacob is giving gifts. He's giving fortune. He's apologizing. He's bowing down to Esau, on one hand. So Esau is flattered. As much as he hates Jacob, he's flattered. And that's when you have ego, you don't have logic. Everybody can cheat you so easily. You're blind. You're blind by your own ego, by your own desire for all kinds of, you know, worldly stuff. But then Jacob is doing another thing, says the Zohar. He's saying, I lived with Laban till now and got all of this wealth. And Esau says, but everybody knows that Laban is the biggest liar, cheat, and warlock on the dark side in the world. Nobody ever left Laban with something without Laban destroying him. Which means that Jacob is much more powerful than Laban. So just a second. If he's so much powerful, why is he apologizing to me? Why is he giving me the gifts? So Esau is confused. When your enemy is in the hands of his own dark side, he is totally addicted to hatred and pride and ego. The only way to get him outside of the place of harming you is get him confused. How do you get him confused? You have to, first of all, overcome your own fear and trust the light of the Creator. When you do that, when you create faith, when you connect to the upper world, which is there waiting for each one of us, then you do the job of Jacob, rising to the occasion. This is the free will. This is the point of free will of every human being. That's a point you rise and you create a real miracle. When we connect to that light, we will achieve real strength. The strength that we generate, on one hand, will get our enemy confused. On the other hand, you have to be nice, and that will make him even more confused. And then the result, what the Zohar says, when Jacob is doing that and he humiliates himself in front of his brother is getting so so proud that he forgets that he wanted to kill him. And the result is that all the greatness that Esav could have achieved, because he also had free will. Do you think that Isaac and Rivka will bring to the world a person who is only evil? No way. He just chose the dark side. And when Jacob bows down to him, says a Zohar, if Esav knew what Jacob is doing to him, he would kill himself. Esav was born for greatness. He gave up on it. He didn't want to overcome his darkness. He chose hatred, violence, and blood. The greatness he was supposed to achieve by his hard work went away because of his pride to Jacob. And Jacob got raised. He was raised to the place that is called Israel. Israel means the ability to fight powers and win. And that Jacob left for the future time. For the future time, when Israel will reign supreme, Israel, there will be justice in this world. Right now, don't say, well, there's no justice, why should I try? No, there's no justice because you're not complete yet. And bringing justice in spite of the injustice outside, just doing the right thing, behaving with dignity and honesty and integrity and love and compassion, that is worthy when there's darkness outside. When we do that, we achieve the power that one day will manifest itself, and this power will be the might that justice can be seen to everyone. Sometimes we can see it in our lifetime, sometimes not. But when we achieve that might, the first thing is inner happiness and enlightenment. That is what we really care for and what we really need. Good luck for all of us in that journey. And don't be upset by injustice outside. It's supposed to be like this. And we are supposed to go against it and to become the light we're looking for to be outside. Thank you so much and have a great week.